We started a new series last weekend, and the context, I believe, is very practical and also very profound, and that's in the context of how do I get God's Word working in my life? You know, folks, we can come in and out of a church every weekend, and maybe you've done this, and we hear the Bible, but if we don't see the Bible bringing change, true change in our life, that's got to be a red flag, a question, what's wrong? Some people never get to that place of even asking. They just walk away. Some people get to that place of asking, but they come to their own conclusion. Well, I guess that's just a good book, but not really anything special or powerful. But we saw last week that the Bible is the most powerful book. I mean, even in the practical context, people that blow off the Bible says, oh, it's no big deal. Then why do so many countries and nations ban it? You have to ask yourself, why can you not take the Bible into a major, some countries in our world, and they literally, they don't ban other books, but they'll ban the Bible or Christianity. Why? If there's no power to it, if there's no truth to it. And so the reality is the Bible is the final authority. It is so powerful. I mean, Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away before his word fails. If you listen and obey my word, then even when storms of life come, you'll stand strong, have stability and strength. Isaiah 55, verse 10, 11 says God's word has an assignment, and it forces those natural things to line up. We know that Genesis tells us that God created by speaking the word, and Hebrews 11, 3 confirms that all things were created by the word of God. Jesus is the word, John 1, 1. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, in verse 14, and the word became flesh. On and on. He has elevated his word above his name. He upholds all things by the word of his power. These are scriptures after scriptures. And don't take my word for any of it. Challenge everything with the Bible. No matter who says it. Because it's Matthew 13. The seed of God's word planted in the heart of a person produces the fruit of change. And John 15, verse 7, 8, and 16 says that's the change that gives glory to your Father. That you produce much fruit. Not go through problems, but have victory in the problems because you've brought the kingdom of God, the order of God, into your world. That's why Jesus encouraged them, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's not saying suffer. He's saying get victory, my victory. For with Christ, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Can I get an amen? All thanks be to God who causes you to triumph. These are verses after verses. Write them down. Don't take my word for it. See if it's in the Bible. And you'll find that a lot of us have been taught incorrectly in the church world that we thought that we're to be victims and that God's punishing us or putting this stuff on us for his glory. And that's unscriptural. No matter what you believe, if it's in conflict with the Bible, challenge it. What am I believing? How do I see this? Because Proverbs says every man's ways are right in their own eyes, but God judges, ponders it, and brings it to balance. What am I telling you? Just because we see something a certain way doesn't mean it's the right way. Just because I've looked at a situation because I was taught that way from a child doesn't mean that it's the right way. There's always, and this is humbling, this is for all of us. We all have room to grow. Some of you have been listening, haven't you? I don't care who you are. If you find somebody that knows it all and doesn't have any room for growth, smile and graciously, kindly, softly, quietly take a few steps back and walk away. Because the truth is, we're all growing. And never feel offended that if something's being taught, you're like, well, what are you saying about me, that I'm a bad person? No, if you're struggling in an area, that's called life. But I'm telling you and giving you hope that you don't have to struggle. You can have victory. Let's get into the Bible. What does the Bible say? Because Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, how God does stuff, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So if something's not clicking or working, don't blame God and his word. Be bold enough to say, what am I missing, Lord? Because shine a light on this, Jesus, because the entrance of his word gives light. Isaiah 60 says that when the light comes, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory, the presence, the power of God is manifest in your situation. And so we got to be bold enough and get real and quit saying, I'm just going to do what I've always done, and one day God will just bless me with it. Well, what if it's not God at all? What if it's God's already provided? What if he's already provided? David said, you've prepared a table for me in the midst of my enemies. One translation, while my enemies have to look on. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what happened when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. When he died on the cross, he established a new covenant, New Testament, which literally means a new contract. And within the context of that contract, you could be saved. Salvation comes with that new contract. Can I get an amen, third service? Can I get a better amen, third service? Thank you for the few of you. Well, I'm going to work all of you now. Because of that contract, that you are saved, but the word saved and salvation in the Greek is sozo or soteria, and it includes forgiveness of sins. It includes you going to heaven, but it also includes all the promises of the New Testament. Healing, yes. Joy, yes. Blessing, yes. Peace, yes. That's why the Bible says that the promises of God to you, and the King James says, yay and amen. What does that mean? The promises of God to you are approved and completed. So be it. How? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. Then why don't I have it? Because you access it, Hebrews 6. You access it by faith. Romans 10, faith comes by hearing the word. So there's something you have to do to partner with God, to draw from the table the provision. I'm the branch, I'm the vine, you are the branches, Jesus said. We got to connect to the vine and draw what's in the vine, because everything in the vine belongs to you when you're connected. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means I'm still learning. Say, I'm still learning. I mean, you will feel better about life after you go through the hard bridge and transition of realizing and admitting to yourself that I don't have it all down. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. David, even in the Bible, says, search me out, O God, like a book, and tell me if there's any. Why? Because we're all growing. We're all learning. I mean, even the disciples made some mistakes. Walking with Jesus. We're all learning. Say, I'm learning. I'm growing. You don't start off as a son and daughter. You start off as a child of God, and you grow into the things of God. Some people think that the ultimate thing is I'm saved going to heaven. No, the ultimate thing is you're saved going to heaven, and now you are reflecting the image of your Father on this earth so other people can get saved and go to heaven. You're doing the will of the Father. You're running the race, Hebrews 12, that's set before you. You're doing what you're supposed to do so that other people can get saved. And so we have to be able to figure out, how does the enemy operate in this battle of life? Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices. How does this thing work so that I can begin to see, wait a minute, this area, now I'm seeing why I am not seeing the word work in my life. Because the word is powerful. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word is quick, which means it can move fast. It can make quick change. The word produces a change, Matthew 13. And the change is always evident by people who don't know God. You don't have to pray when you walk by an apple tree to see an apple and know that it's an apple tree. Why? Because you're smart enough to know an apple. When people see you get saved, when people see you get healed, when people see you get blessed, When people see you, that you have the joy of the Lord, they're going to notice it, even if they don't have never read a scripture in their whole life. Your life becomes a billboard. But as long as we buy into old religion, and I'm sorry if that offends you, I'm not here to offend you, I'm here to speak the truth of God's word in love. And old religion, in my opinion, is what people took the truth of God's word and manipulated it for their own personal benefit and controlled people and dominated people and made us jump through hoops, and only they were the ones that are okay and if we were right or not, and we didn't go to the word, but now we know doctrine but not the truth of God's word. Don't chop me down. You better be quiet and sit there and say, all that pious look. You know what I'm talking about is true. We've had enough people in the world who they themselves weren't living it, but trying to dominate and control us with it. We got to get the truth, because it's the truth that you know that sets you free. Jesus said it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, if Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the word, John 1:1, then the word of God is truth. And if the word of God is truth, when I hold on to the word, it might not be overnight, Hebrews 6, it's through faith and patience. But in the process of time, that word should bring freedom into any and every area of my life. We got to get past the traditional religious game of just showing up occasionally to the church and say, well, if God wants me to have it, it will just happen. Que sera, sera. If it's God's will, he's all powerful. He'll make me have it. He will not override your will. He will not override your will. He will not override your will. You have to take this thing serious and begin to get into it yourself. For the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. Well, don't you think, Pastor, God's all powerful. He wouldn't be healed. He would have healed me by now. He healed you 2,000 years ago. And it's up to you to access your healing. Because the enemy, John 10:10, has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life. And it all starts and is fulfilled in Christ on Calvary. Now you begin to access what rightfully belongs to you. The devil's not trying to put sickness on you, because the thief doesn't give you something. He tries to take what you already have, even if you're not aware that you have it. And so when he comes, he doesn't try to give you sickness. He tries to steal healing. He tries to steal life. He tries to steal your joy. He tries to steal your peace. He tries to steal your blessing. And if you don't realize what's coveted to you, then you'll just sit by and let him. And they say, well, you're just making me feel bad. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. We're all growing. You can get a pity party and get upset, and all you're doing is focusing on you. Or you can say, wait a minute, I need to focus on the Word, set my affection on things above, not things on the earth. I got to look to the eternal and not the... Well, I'm just telling you the truth. You're telling me a fact, not the truth. And there's a big difference. Facts change. Truth never changes. We got to get to the place, number one, we talked last week, that the Word of God revealed to you is the final authority, regardless of what you feel, hear, or see. We'll give you that CD in a little bit for free, or we already did. The Word of God is the final authority. That's what Abraham did, Romans 4, who did not consider. The word consider means depend on. He did not depend on his own body, now 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he was still fully persuaded that the God who made the promise was well able to complete it or perform it. What was he saying? It don't look good, but God said. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen, but God said. But if God said it, that's the final authority. And I'm going to keep to my guns. I'm going to keep to the race. I'm going to hold on to what God said, even though it don't look possible in the natural, even though it's never been done in the history books. I'm telling you, when Mary got the message from the angel that said, you're going to have child. And how's that happen? I've never been with a man. And he began to say, God's going to come and birth this baby inside you, and that's going to be the Son of God. She said, be it unto me, not based on history, not based on probability, not based on likelihood, not based on I've heard somebody else that had it, not based on anything, but based only on the Word of God. And she said, be it unto me according to your Word. When you get to the place of saying, God, be in my life according to your Word. Doctor's report says this. Your Word says this. Doctor's report says this. Your Word says this. Be it unto me. Be it unto my marriage. Be it unto my health. Be it unto my financial. Okay, be it unto my checkbook. Be it unto my children. Be it unto my home. Be it unto my mind. Be it unto my emotions. According to your Word. You're getting somewhere. When you say, God, I choose your Word. That is so important that when you look historically in the Bible, and when the children of Israel were coming up to the promised land, and all of a sudden Joshua sent some spies, they sent spies in the land. Moses sent some spies, and Joshua and Caleb came back, and they said, it's just like God said, and there's giants, but we are well able. Let's go today. Let's go now. And the other ones came back and said, no. It is good, but there's giants, and we're grasshoppers in their eyes. We can't do this. We can't do this. We can't. That's what they're saying. We can't. It's good, but we can't do this. It'd be nice, but we can't do this. It looks promising, but we can't have this. We can't do this. What were they saying? We can't do this on our own ability, and God won't help. Let's stay. Joshua and Caleb says, we can on our own, but God's given it to us. Let's go. They did not, listen, the evil report, the Bible says, the evil report was not full of lies. It was full of facts. And when we look at the situation and say, you know what? It'll never happen for me because I've never seen it. I don't know anybody. It doesn't seem probable. What you're saying is it's too big for God. It's too big for God. And when you begin to look at your history and to define your future, that maybe I've never seen anybody. I know God says I can, but it looks like I can't. I know it says I'm able, but I feel like I'm unable. I know it says that I got a bright future, but I look at my past and it looks like I got a messed up, jacked up past. Therefore, I'm going to have a messed up, jacked up future. What you are saying is there is no hope because there is no God who can handle what I'm dealing with. You say, "What? Where's hope come in?" Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And what I'm telling you, that it's not you agreeing in the area of your mind, but believing in your heart, and if God said it and revealed it to you, it's not you just agreeing and copying somebody else. You will mess your life up if you try to live somebody else's faith. Romans tells us to operate at our level of faith. But when God speaks to you, when God gives you a revelation, it's a discernment. When God reveals his word to your heart, Romans 10, it's with the heart man believes. When God speaks to your heart, just not you agreeing, because you can get a lot of people to agree, but there's no power in the agreement of their mind if you're easily distracted by the things around you. You have to be focused. It takes focus. It takes effort. God, you said this, and the doctor and the people and offended and hurt my feelings, and someone didn't do this, and someone did do that, and God, all these things can sidetrack you. But when you zero in and say, but God, you said. Jesus approached the disciples one day and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon, who later became Peter, said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One." Jesus said, "Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, or flesh and blood has not given this to you, or people haven't told you this. This came from revelation from the Father." We get into the word. Faith comes by hearing. You hear the word. But in the hearing of the word, you get revelation, a heart revelation. In the process, the word becomes alive to you. You get that revelation. It gives you direction, Joshua 1, verse 6 through 10. But as you get that word in you, all of a sudden you'll get a revelation. It comes from heaven. It comes from heaven. And it begins, are you listening? Typically, it doesn't make natural sense or reason. It will mess with your, has God ever messed with your brain? Tithes and offerings are over. So let me say this. You're like, God, I need you to bless me financially. And you're thumbing through the word. And you see scripture. And God begins to tell you to tithe. Wait a minute, Jesus. That makes no sense. I'm short. I don't need to give more. I need to give less. Find more money. Giving a tithe, first 10%. Or giving offerings makes no logical sense to your bank account when you don't have enough. I always think it's interesting how people become financial managers when it comes to giving into the kingdom of God. But we can't afford that. But when they go shopping, they never ask themselves if they can afford that. They ask if they want it. Don't shout me down now. Well, I just had to have it. I just wanted it. I just needed that. Well, what are you sowing in the kingdom of God? Oh, I can't afford that. You know, our budget's kind of tight lately all of a sudden. You don't even have a budget. Don't be talking to me. Let's see your budget on a piece of paper. Isn't that right? It makes no sense. It makes no sense why God would ask you to forgive somebody. Come on, let's be real. Someone talked about you like that? Trying to mess with your home or your job. You know, what they need is some paybacks. Come on, let's get real, right? Let's hurt them so that they wish they never mess with you again, right? That's what we want to do. But the Bible says forgive them. It makes no sense. But when you get the revelation of forgiveness, it's not for their benefit, it's for yours. It doesn't mean that that you deserved it, or they should be allowed to do it again, or that you should just be a victim. No, it means that you refuse to hook yourself up to their wagon. Because some people are just toxic, and you have to walk away. And we physically have walked away from people, but we have emotionally connected to them. And though we may not see them for years or talk to them, anytime they're referenced, something stirs on the inside, and that's your first red flag that you have connected yourself to their wagon. And even though you think you've walked away, they still are in control. Don't let anybody have that control into your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. You know what I mean? I've learned the hard way, because there's been people I've been so mad at, and the next time I saw them, I was going to lay into them, and only to find out when I begin to lay into them, they quickly apologize because they didn't realize they hurt me. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize I did that. What do you mean you didn't realize? So for 3 months, I'm angry, bitter, mad, and they didn't even know it? So I'm going through a hard 3 months, and they were happy? Something wrong with that picture. But it was because I didn't know at the time the power of forgiving people and not letting them have control of my life. If you hurt me, that's one thing. But if you hurt me, I don't let you keep hurting me. Why should I give you that access into my happiness and joy and quality of my life? Can I get an amen? So the things that God asks you to do doesn't always make sense. Let me read a few scriptures and we'll close. Do you have your Bibles? We're going to throw these on the screen. So here's the first one I want to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says the natural man, you know what a natural man is? You know what that's talking about? It's the carnal side of us. You could say it this way. The persons whose life is dictated, controlled, affected, influenced, say anyone you want. The person's life who's directed by what they feel, hear, and see. If you only have a good day, if everything goes your way and the sun is shining, the weather's nice, but first rainy day, you're just like, I'm just angry. I'm just having a bad day. It's just been rainy, and then someone cut me off. All of a sudden, things around you that you can't control are controlling your direction of your day. See, that's a person who's moved and knocked around by every wind of doctrine. And James says, let that person never think they can receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because they never stay on target. That's like trying to go somewhere, and you drive for an hour on a four-hour trip, and you keep turning around every 30 minutes. You're not going anywhere. You don't stay on the journey long enough. A carnal, natural man is someone who's totally based on what's happened around them. Impulse. Ooh, I just wanted to hate. I just wanted to say it. I just wanted to do it. Everything's based on the impulse that they feel, and they just go through it. Notice here. You still with me? The natural man, the man who's only by his natural reasoning, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. This is not you agreeing with something. This is you getting a revelation from the Word of God. I could tell you all day that by his stripes you're healed, and even though the doctor says that you're sick, that you can access the power of God and bring healing into your life, but it doesn't mean anything until you get a revelation of it. And just so we're all on the same page, how many people are saved? Don't get quiet on me. See, you got to do better in the first two services. That's the one I had to work them because they were like, How many people are saved? Okay, thank you. You guys are awesome. Okay. Yeah. Have you ever tried explaining mentally, logically, salvation to an atheist? They don't get it. Why? Because salvation is not something that's understood in this part of the logic of your brain. It's perceived in your heart. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is a work of the Spirit of God, where he convicts you that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and that Jesus is the Savior. In Romans 10, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus, are you with me? So it's not a, here's a logical thing. Do you understand that? Okay, I'll agree to that. I'm saved. There's a lot of people who go to church that really aren't saved. They've just been raised in church, and this is what you do on Sunday. And they go in and out, and there's all mental. And I'm not saying that God wants you to disconnect logically. No. Proverbs is a whole book about getting wisdom and understanding. But when wisdom and understanding in the natural comes in conflict with the revelation of the truth of God's word into your spirit, there's a willingness to say by choice, because that's where the key is, God's giving you this will, this choice, and you say, logically, this shouldn't work. But Lord, if your word tells me to do something, I'm going to obey your word. Be it unto me according to your word. Trust in the Lord, the Bible says, with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So it's not you doing what you want and saying God told you. I've had people say, well, the Lord told me to do something, and it's in conflict with the Bible. Listen, the Lord's not going to ask you to do something that's in conflict with the Word. It always comes from the Word. Don't look for voices. Look to the Word. Can God speak to you and you almost hear his voice? Yes, but if you look for voices, the devil will accommodate and he'll trick you. Keep to the Word. Keep to the Word. And you get revelation. And it's not going to make sense. That's why you can't convince somebody to get saved. You can tell them and give them the opportunity to choose. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit as they hear it to convict their heart. I can't convince you to have faith. I can just speak the Word. And if you're hungry enough, and the Spirit of God reveals it to your heart, you grab onto this thing. Quit being passive. You got to, the kingdom of God suffereth violent, and the violent take it by force. I think it's, we'll be more aggressive on other stuff and passive on the things of God, and we can't figure out why it's not working for us. Because we only obey or do the Word when it's convenient or everybody approves. What if it's not popular and God told you to do it? Would you still obey? I'll do two more quick verses. Hebrews 4:2. It says, the word was preached, and it did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word was preached. The word went forth, and it did not bring a change. Not because the word couldn't, not that the word wasn't designed to, not that God doesn't follow his word with signs and wonders and backs his word, because he does, but because the receiver did not mix it with faith. They did not let it in. They did not want the discernment. Because in their mind, and Proverbs says, every man's ways are right in their own eyes. In their mind, I know I'm right, so I'm not open for God to show me. See, that's what tradition does. I know I'm right, so the future's not going to be any different. And for you, it won't be. Because you need hope, which is the believing of tomorrow's going to be greater because of God. Mark 7, verse 13. Making the word of God of none effect through their traditions. See, your tradition is my past of all my experiences. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to become like a child. Not, you don't have to be vulnerable to everybody. That's the mistake. You don't have to believe everybody. That's the mistake. But when it comes to the truth of God's word, and what not I tell you, not what other people tell you, but when you're reading the word and the Spirit of God makes that word come alive in your heart. Do you see that? I am so confident in the word of God that I tell you, don't even listen to me. Challenge everything I say with the word of God. Because I don't want you out there quoting Pastor Greg. I want you out there speaking the word. And as you do that, that word strengthens you, guides you. Builds you, guide, it directs you, empowers you. But it becomes a revelation in your heart. And you begin dreaming again. You become where you begin to look forward to what God's going to do. And so when you look at your finances, you say, man, that's a struggle. I got to work on this. But Lord, I know you have a better way. Show me. What do I need to do different? Speak to my heart. You get in the word. And you meditate on the word on the specific area you deal with. Don't try to deal with 20 problems at once. Can I speak to you practically? If you got 10 problems, don't take on all 10 giants. Take on one giant at a time. And even in war, the ones who usually lose the war, if they're all equally in the military strength, if you can get your enemy to deal with several fronts simultaneously, you weaken them. What do you do? One enemy at a time. One enemy at a time. So if you're dealing with financial problems and physical problems and whatever, pick one. And go at it with the word of God. So if you're dealing with finances, start reading New Testament scriptures on the promises of God on finances. And there's a bunch of them. Don't read the begats. Don't read about other stuff. Just stay on the one. Stay on the one. Feed your heart. Feed your mind. Get it. Build your faith. You'll get a revelation. Once you get the heart revelation, you'll get the direction. As you obey the direction, it's a process of time. Matthew 13, the kingdom of God is a man who plants a seed and waters it and wakes up day and night and does not know how it works, but it still works. You deal with that and you start building momentum. Wait a minute. If it worked in my finances, what about my health? If it worked in my health, what about this? And you just keep dealing with, and you grow this area of your life, and you get stronger, and you have more victory in more areas, and one day you'll wake up, and time keeps moving, and you'll look back of all that God's done through you as you applied the word in your life, not agree with it, but you put effort and got a revelation that the Spirit of God, because you stuck in there, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, and you kept in the word on that area, and all of a sudden you had victory in that area, and then you deal with the next giant. And the devil will try to get you to deal with all of them simultaneously. And you know what you tell him? Shut up. Just like you would tell a kid, shut up, sit down, I'll be with you in a minute. And when I get there, you're going to wish you. One at a time. And watch how you begin dreaming again. What are you looking forward to? Start saying, I'm looking forward to when I can start running again. I'm looking forward to when I can not only pay all my current bills and pay my debts, but I can help my neighbor. I'm looking forward to the day that I can not only feed my kids a great meal and not have to divide it so many times that everybody eat more than they want, and then go and feed a whole group of people. Start dreaming. Start looking forward to it. People say, how is that going to happen? I don't have to know how, but God's given me a word that he said it's already done, and I'm walking this thing out. Start dreaming. Don't figure out. That's the game of the devil to get you to figure out by reason how or when. No, you focus on the who and be like Abraham, who considered not his own inabilities, but considered the God who said it to him was well able. Amen?
Amen.
Keep looking forward to what God has for you. You're on the right path. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.